heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
Grizzlies' final road game of the season is tonight in San Antonio. We'll talk about it. And after watching that NCAA title game, I know one thing. Really have got to stop complaining about NBA officials. My Lord. We'll talk about the Grizzlies and the Spurs coming up and some interesting numbers from the Grizzlies after the All-Star break. We'll look a little deeper into it as you listen to Locked On Grizzlies.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into what's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated edition of Locked On Grizzlies today. My name is Peter Edmiston. Welcome into the pod. Thank you for joining us. Of course, thanks to our sponsors, including our friends at Grizz Essentials, who bring you today's podcast. Remember, grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. That's grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Go check it out and get yourself something really, really special. If you're a Grizzly fan, you want to get geared up for the playoffs, now is the time to do it. Let them show you all the amazing things that they can give you, and they are a lot of really cool things on that site. So check it out. Again, the boxes that you will get, they are unique. They are full of incredible things. Go look at the look through the site. Look, their pictures. There's all kinds of info. It's easy to go to, and once you do, and once you see what you're going to get, you're going to be hooked, like so many others are. Go to grizzessentials.com/LOGrizzlies. Well, on a night when North Carolina wins the national championship, typically, you know, that Monday night where the title game is played is a pretty light one in the NBA. In fact, there's usually no NBA games. There happened to be one because it had been previously delayed. The Blazers and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves winning their 10th straight game, by the way, of 1 point, which is an NBA record and a very strange stat for a team that has otherwise blown tons and tons of leads this year. That was the only game, though, in the NBA. And so everyone kind of gearing up for the action tonight. That includes the Grizzlies and the Spurs, a 7:30 tip-off in San Antonio, the final road game of the year for the Grizzlies, which, you know, it really is pretty amazing. Whenever you start talking about final this, final that, it makes you realize how close we are to the end of the regular season, how close we are to the postseason. It's all coming up really quickly. So tonight, yeah, the final road game of the year. Then the Grizzlies will finish with four straight at FedEx Forum starting tomorrow night, with a critical one, the one that will ultimately decide whether the Grizzlies have an opportunity to jump into that sixth seed or not when they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. It could also, depending on what happens tonight, be the chance to see Russell Westbrook break the single-season triple-doubles record of 41, currently held by Oscar Robertson. Russ is at 40. The Thunder host the Bucks tonight as well. If he throws up triple-double number 41 in that ball game, then obviously, you know, a little arithmetic will tell you that he has an opportunity to drop in triple-double number 42 against the Grizzlies on Wednesday night. But again, that is a little bit, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves in this whole situation. And I think the discussion around the seed and the playoff matchup has been really interesting on a lot of fronts, with a lot of people kind of, there are compelling arguments to be made on both sides of it. I'll set that aside for now, but it is certainly something interesting to consider, and I would imagine it's certainly something that has been considered heavily by David Fizdale, by the coaching staff, by the front office, as they try to assess the best way to go about things to make sure that they get the most rest for players, have everyone kind of clicking on all cylinders going into the postseason. How do you stack that up versus making sure that you get the best possible seed? That's the question that's it's always at the forefront this time of year when you are not quite sure about where you're going to be. It looks, though, like from an injury standpoint, things are improving from the Grizzlies as Marc Gasol and Jermichael Green both are listed in the injury report from Monday as questionable, which is a dramatic upgrade for them. They have missed, Mark has missed the last five games. Jermichael Green's missed the last three. And, you know, both those guys, I mean, we talked about it. Clearly, the game against the Lakers, the Grizzlies had a very, very lackluster group, to say the very least. That was not a roster that could win very many games. And it didn't even win that game. So getting those guys back is critical. Getting them back with enough time to actually kind of get a rhythm going is important. And I would expect, based on that report, I would think that they would both play. But that remains to be seen. But that's certainly good news for the Grizzlies, and I would imagine you throw Vince Carter back in the mix as well. This would be a good preview. The Grizzlies and the Spurs continue to see each other a lot. You know, it's been, feels like every other game for the last month or so has been against the Spurs because they crammed all four of the games late in the season. And, you know, it's in all likelihood the two teams are going to play again in the postseason. So at least eight games and hopefully more in short order. That does tend to make you a little sick of that team, but it does. It also amplifies the fact that this Spurs team, to me, is a better matchup for the Grizzlies, just because of the, you know, the personnel involved. And, you know, Greg Popovich has made a history of really putting together teams in the last couple of years, especially, that have been excellent regular season teams, but have not been able to get it done in the postseason. Look at last year's Spurs team. 67 win regular season team, had a better point differential than the Warriors, and yet fell in the second round after sweeping the Grizzlies to the Thunder. So, you know, it's the year before that they lost in the first round to the Clippers. So yeah, this has not been an infallible group going forward. That may change, and you know, maybe now Kawhi Leonard, it seems to have flipped the switch and gone into a different gear. Then, you know, maybe that's part of it. But I still just look at the actual composition of the group, and it doesn't scare me. And I would think, and I don't get the impression that it scares anybody on the Grizzlies team either. There is that mystique of Popovich and all that, but I don't think that alone is going to get it done. You know, the Rockets, meanwhile, if you look at it, how well they match up and tempo-wise what they can do to make the Grizzlies really uncomfortable, I think it's just going to be a much more comfortable game and a much more comfortable series against the Spurs. I'm not saying they're going to win against either team, but I am saying that one will be a style that will be a lot more familiar and a lot simpler for them, and one will not. So, to me, you go with the difficult opponent that has a more compatible style and also has some guys that, you know, you can do whatever you want to modify and move and push and pull and broad defense or whatever. But, you know, the Spurs, as you will see tonight, continue to have in their rotation a number of guys who just really aren't good defenders and who have their own issues with age and all that. Those are things you can't completely you can't forget about. And as good as the Spurs have been, and they've been excellent, phenomenal, you know, Greg Popovich, coach of the year worthy, but they do have those structural issues. They are not going away, and the Grizzlies have the opportunity to probably make them a little bit uncomfortable in the way that they play. Now, speaking of the Grizzlies and trying to kind of figure out what they need to be doing and where they're at for this playoff run or anywhere else, there was an interesting little number that I've been digging around and kind of looking at and thinking about, and I wanted to share it with you to get you to think about it a little bit too, and to just ruminate on this a little bit. Think about it. You know, shoot me a message on Twitter. Let me know. I put a version of this out earlier today, but I'm giving you here on the pod a little deeper and a little longer standing version. So the Grizzlies, as you know, when you guys know when I do these things, I really like to use the per 100 possession stats. I like things to be normalized. It just makes it a lot easier. And, you know, it allows for you to, you know, as long as the players have played enough minutes and as long as you've got a big enough sample size, then you can really start to kind of get a feel for impact in the most accurate way possible. And so with that in mind, I was looking at the offensive defensive ratings for Grizzly players at various units of time this year. And one thing that that really stood out to me, it's a pretty remarkable number. The Grizzlies this year, since January 1st, so go all the way back to the turn of the year, 2017, since January 1st, the Grizzlies have been 10.6 points per 100 possessions worse with Mike Conley off the floor than when he's on. 10.6 points per 100 possessions is an enormous number over that length of time, and that is half the season, by the way. At this point now, with the 5 games left to play, but that represents 41 games for the Grizzlies. 41 games for the Grizzlies. With Mike Conley off the floor, they are 10.6 points per 100 possessions worse. They have a negative 10.6 net rating, is another way to say that. He is that's the most impactful guy by a mile for the Grizzlies. He's the guy that you want to use a stat to find out how indispensable a guy is. This is the one that you want to consult. This tells you how indispensable the guy is. Can you get by without him? How does your team perform when he's not out there? And so for Mike Conley, he's the one guy the Grizzlies cannot afford to ever have off the court. Tony Allen, for example, the Grizzlies this year have been 2.7 points per 100 possessions worse with him on the bench. So he's had an important role, but that's 2.7 versus 10.6. And Tony Allen is the second most indispensable guy. So the jump there is enormous. Now, you know, some of that is that the Grizzlies have an absolutely horrendous group of backup point guards. That certainly has an impact because when Mike Conley comes out of the game, generally speaking, one of those guys comes in. It's been Andrew Harrison. It's been Tony Douglas. Of late, it's been a little bit of Wade Baldwin. It's even been some Tony Allen. None of those are particularly great options. None of those are gonna really win you much of anything. That plays into that number for sure. But it's also a measure of how good Mike Conley has been, how important Mike Conley has been. And the fact that it is so on that end of the scale tells you that, you know, he's been super good and that the Grizzlies have not adequately taken care of that backup point guard position. Because if you look at the rest of the net ratings, the rest of the players pretty much are kind of whatever. There's not much difference. They come out of the game, doesn't really materially change much. They're in the game, you know, has a little bit of an impact. But when they're not in the game, then the Grizzlies have been able to use lineups and modify and change things around and deal with their loss. What is interesting about that is that includes Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol, who is the Grizzlies all-star, you would think is a, you know, hugely impactful guy, this, that, and the other thing, and the numbers have been so good and blah, blah, blah. But in actuality, the Grizzlies, since January 1st, are about a point per 100 possessions better with Marc Gasol on the bench than they are with him on the floor. When he's on the floor, it's a the Grizzlies have a net rating of -1.2, which is about where they are during this stretch of time overall. The fact is that Mark really hasn't had a major impact statistically from an offensive and defensive rating standpoint for the team. And that is one of those things that kind of squares with what you watch. It hasn't been a great year for Mark, in spite of the numbers. Offensively, it has been, you know, his finest year. But defensively, it's been one of his worst. So you total that up, and I would say it's fair to say it has not been a great year for Marc Gasol. It's been a good year. Potentially great. Flashes of greatness. But the defense has been so suspect as to really kind of tank a lot of that positivity on the offensive side. And the numbers show that. When Marc Gasol's on the bench, the Grizzlies, statistically at least, since January 1st, are better. Some of that may be noise, but that's 728 minutes of time that Mark hasn't been out there. That's a long stretch. That's a big chunk. That's enough time to get a feel for what's going on out there. And you can see that there's something there. The difference between Mike Conley and Marc Gasol's numbers there are pretty startling. And this is over a lengthy stretch of time. You know, you can explain away the size of the Conley number, which, FYI, just so you know, that 10.4 or 10.6 rather that Mike Conley puts out there, Grizzlies are 10.6 points per 100 possessions worse with Conley on the bench than when he's playing. That number is the biggest number of anybody who plays on a regular basis in the entire league. Everyone's made a big deal, and rightly so, about how good LeBron is for the Cavs, how the Cavs fall apart when he's not out there, and they do. That's absolutely true. That's been a big thing people have talked about. Well, since January 1st, the Cavs are about 9.9 points per 100 possessions worse with LeBron on the bench. A big number, to be sure, but not as big as Mike Conley's. So by that metric, Conley has been even more indispensable to the Grizzlies than LeBron has been to the Cavs. The same is true of Russell Westbrook. That same kind of thing. The number for Russ is about 7. Again, Mike Conley close to 11. Part of it is that backup point guard indictment. Part of it is that Mike has had a really, really good year. And when people ask me who's the most important Grizzly, who's the best or whatever, the answer this year is Mike Conley. As much as, you know, you could look and say, you know, Mark is very talented and he does all this stuff, and it's all theoretically true. Theoretically, he's an excellent defender. Theoretically, he's got great leadership potential and can marshal an entire defense and all that, but in execution, that hasn't really happened. In execution, that has not been what Grizzly fans have seen this year. Getting Mark on the same page, getting Mike and Mark together, getting everyone kind of back and playing well, is far more important for the Grizzlies than any seeding or anything that happens. It doesn't matter if they're 6, 7, 5, whatever. If everyone's playing poorly, they're going to lose. So that's number one, right? Out of everything else that's out there, that is the first and most important thing. And of course, I'll be watching tonight to see just how exactly this thing goes. If in fact Mark does play, if in fact Jermichael plays, if you see something resembling a regular Grizzly lineup out there, how will it change now that there should be some insistence? This, you know, not only from a seeding perspective, but just scheduling wise and everything else, this is time. It's time to hit it. Will there be some urgency tonight? Will there be the lack or the urgency that we've lacked? We've seen this team lack for some time now. Will it be there tonight? Will you be able to see some of the cohesive play defensively that this team is going to need in the postseason? The communication, the switching, passing off, all those things that, you know, have really been a problem sometimes for the Grizzlies. Will they be executed at a high enough level that you can watch for tonight? These are things you can see that you can't answer all the questions, but you can start to at least get yourself squared away. You can at least start to put yourself in the right frame of mind to be ready. That's what I expect to see from the Grizzlies, win or lose tonight. That's how the Grizzlies need to perform in this game. And even more so if those guys do come back. We'll see. We'll obviously talk about it tomorrow on the podcast, along with a look ahead to the Oklahoma City game, as this regular season quickly starts to wind down. One quick note also before we say goodbye. Congratulations to North Carolina for their NCAA championship. And as I mentioned earlier, this game totally ruined by the officiating. Completely ruined by the officiating in the second half. I don't know if you guys watched North Carolina and Gonzaga, but absolutely, it reminds you of why watching college basketball can be so frustrating, and why the NBA, for all the problems, and then we've talked about lots of them, and sometimes the officials really are brutal in the NBA. The worst NBA officials are 10 times better than the average college basketball ref. College basketball refs, oof, just awful. But regardless, congratulations to the Tar Heels. Congrats to Vince Carter. Congrats to Brandon Wright. Congrats to the Tar Heels. They are NCAA champions. And we'll see what sort of championship, if any, this Grizzly team can take home. I have a feeling it certainly will not be the Larry O'Brien Trophy, but hey, man, look, you never know. You got to keep trying. You got to keep playing. You never know. Thanks again for all of your support of the pod. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to talking to you again on Wednesday.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.